Another opportunity to be back at your way of listening. I'm thankful for all God's love and mercy that renews every morning and His compassions that never fail. I'm thankful I can always depend on my lovely Savior. They got alive in me over 5 years ago. It was the best decision that I've ever made in my life when I finally brought my broke heart, my contrite spirit, my sorrowful spirit to the Lord, that I was really sorry that I sinned against the Almighty God. When I finally brought that to Him, instead of bringing any good works, you know, if you feel that baptism of the water might help you, or that turning over a new leaf might help you, or giving your alms to the church, or giving money to the preacher, or, you know, helping somebody on the side of the street, all that, you know, is good. It's good to do good things, but see, all that won't get you saved. All that won't get you to heaven. The Bible says there's a sacrifice that God will not despise, and that is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's very plain and very simple gospel that we read and that we can understand if you just listen to the Word of God that's being preached today. I pray that you would open up your heart and really let the King of Glory speak to you. I'm nothing. I'm an absolute nobody. I'm just a sinner saved by God's marvelous, amazing grace. It's because I finally gave my life and my all to Him at the cross of Calvary. He died for us there, and I made my way there, and I brought my broke heart, and I was on the knees of my heart. I was kneeled down. I was heavy. I was troubled. I was distraught. I was just out there. My mind was out there. The devil had it so strong, but God was tugging at my heart's door. And what a wonderful day that was when I finally, after 7 years, I wasted 7 years. I heard the Word of God as a young kid. I felt the love of God coming from my preacher. He preached every Sunday and every Wednesday about how what Jesus did for me, how He died on the cross, how He shed His precious blood at Calvary, and how if I didn't get saved, if I didn't believe on His name, not just believe on His name, but call out to Him and let Him come into my heart with all of my heart, That's the only way that I would have been saved, and that's the only way that I would get to heaven. He preached exactly the way it needed to be. He preached about a place called hell, about how hell was created for the devil and all of his angels that he brought down. At the beginning, he tried to usurp authority over Jesus, so Jesus had to cast him out of heaven. And he's been on a rampage. He's been in a warfare, walking to and fro, seeking to whom he may devour. All these years and thousands of years just on the earth, just walking to and fro as in a rage, trying to take everybody to hell. And there's very few preachers that's really preaching the gospel. You won't hear much people talk about a place called hell. You won't really hear much people talk about a place about our flesh and a place called heaven and how you can shun hell and go to heaven. But see, they don't want to talk about our flesh. They don't want to talk about your sinful bad habits, because that's where you really get convicted. That's where your heart kind of tugs and gets a little bit low and gets a little bit heavy, and you don't really want to hear. You get kind of antsy. You get kind of disturbed about what's being preached because it's hitting the nail on the head, so to speak, and it convicts your heart, and you don't want to hear it because it might stop you or steer you away from your sinful habit that satisfies you for a very short season. But you see, Jesus satisfies eternally. He specializes in hard cases. He's the great physician, the great I Am. He's the Lord of Lords, Kings of Kings. He's the mighty and everything. He's the chief cornerstone. Everybody laughed Him to scorn. They didn't believe Him, what He told them. They didn't believe that He was going to come back. He told them that He would, you know, that He would destroy the temple and build it back in 3 days. They didn't believe. They thought He was talking about the temple made with hands, but He was talking about the temple of His body. See, He went down to hell for every man, boy, woman, and girl. He shed His blood at Calvary, and He went down to hell, and He took the keys of hell and death and shook them in the devil's face, just so that me, you, and everybody in this world could have the opportunity of being saved, of really being born again. Nicodemus asked Jesus, he said, "What do you mean be born again? I'm an old man. I'm an older man. I can't get in my mother's womb again and get, you know, be born again." He said, "No, you've already had the water birth." That's what that water birth is talking about. It's talking about when your woman's water breaks, then comes forth the child. That already happened. He said, "You must have a water birth and a spiritual birth." That's what Nicodemus was lacking. I believe he got saved, before he left this world. But that's what he was lacking. He knew the law. He knew everything about it. He knew that, like, the back of his hand. But there was something that he was missing. Just like that old rich man that had a lot of things, a lot of possessions. He said, Jesus, what do I do to be saved? What do I need to do here? He said, give alms, you know, give everything that you have to the poor and come and follow me. And he, that rich man was kind of sad about that, because no doubt he probably worked for that, for his riches. He probably had it for a long time and he could get whatever he wanted. But when something came to pass, as far as you got to give it all away, his heart was sunk low. You see, something might be different with you. It may be your beer. It may be your cigarettes. It may be drugs. It may be the weed. It may be women. It may be men. It may be anybody like that, but see, you can be just like this rich man here. He didn't want to give up his money. He didn't want to give up his riches. You see, it said how hardly it is for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven, because the money is the root of all evil. The Bible tells us that. And whatever's close to your heart, whatever it is, that's where your heart will be. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart be also. And if you just have something in your heart, if you have something that you're running after, something that you're trying to seek after, the real satisfaction, what I'm trying to say, is in Jesus alone. He's the only one that can give you true peace and true joy and true satisfaction. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can get you to heaven. He's the ticket. He is, the Bible said, I am the door. And all, anybody that's ever come before Jesus is Antichrist, and the ones that are here today. He said, I'm the only way that leads unto life, and the straight is that gate, but broad is the way that leads unto destruction, and many there be that go thereat. It's a pitiful world that we live in. People are so rebellious, and I say that saying that I was rebellious too. I was a stubborn kid. I was rebellious. I was hard-headed. I didn't want nobody to tell me yes. I didn't want anybody to tell me no. If I wanted yes, I wanted nobody to tell me no. It was just, I wanted everything the opposite of what the right thing was, because the devil had my mind so strong. I wanted to go my one way. I thought I knew everything. The Bible said the children are wiser than the ones done before. That's what they think. But there is nothing new under the sun. You can read that in Ecclesiastes. There's absolutely nothing new under the sun. All, you know, sin is the same as it was yesterday and the same as it is today, but things are getting a lot worse. We can see that all across the earth. It talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. They got burnt down to a crisp because of homosexuality. That's over all the earth today. Violence, corruption, women with women, working that which is unseemly. That's bad. That's wrong. That's against God's will. God said man, and he made him a woman. And they are both together. And they said, let no man put asunder. He said, put them together and let no man put asunder. And they were grieving Moses when he was making that law over and over and over. Finally, he got fed up with it. And he wrote a law that said you can divorce under one condition. And that's the sin of adultery. You know, being an adulterer or an adulteress, that's the only way that you can divorce somebody. And he wrote that in the law. That's not what God ordained, but God permitted it. Because Moses was grieved with the people. He loved his people. And I love your soul today. I'm nothing like Moses was. I'm not like David. I'm not anything even close to anybody in this Bible. I'm just an unworthy, wretched sinner saved by grace that God has called to preach his gospel. The devil tries to work on me all the time. Oh, you can't preach God's word. You're waking up and you're praying for no reason. You're studying for no reason. You're just getting ready to preach nothing. You can't do it anyways. I was like, you're right, devil, I can't do it. But when I look down at my Bible, I opened my Bible before I started here today. It said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart. And I'm so thankful he comforts me. He shows me these scriptures that I can read and really understand and really feel the presence of the Lord Jesus. It makes it worth it all the trials and all the things that we may go through in life as Christians. No matter what may come at us, whether it's within our own selves, the devil, or people outwardly, they're trying to, you know, dismay us and try to put us down and try to take us down, because I know that's just the devil. If they just had the Lord, if they had the Lord Jesus, they wouldn't be that way. A woman of God who I knew for a short time, I heard a lot about her. She was a very godly woman. And when people would talk about things and situations and start making fun of people
or talk about a situation. Oh, they're idiots. They're morons. And they did this. They did that. And she just listened to them and she would stop them. And she said, if they just had more of Jesus, if they just had the Lord inside their hearts, they wouldn't be that way. And I want to be a whole lot more like that. I want to have the love of Christ dwelling richly inside my soul. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like David in the Bible and Paul, the preacher. I'll never, ever amount or even get close to what he was. He was the greatest preacher that God ever let live. There was many men of the Bible, man after God's own heart. David was he sinned, you know, a great sin of adultery. If a man like that could sin, then who are you and who am I to think that we're anybody? We're just unworthy. We cannot think that we're somebody. We cannot think that we're just high on the mountains and preaching the gospel to everybody and everybody's getting saved. You can just point your finger at somebody and say, oh, you're saved. And no, that doesn't work like that. That's just a dog that can't bark. The dumb dogs are just going to fall into the ditch. The blind can't lead the blind. They will all fall in the ditch. All they want is your money. These TV preachers, I wouldn't give them a nickel. I can listen to their sermons all day long. I wouldn't even give them a nickel for it. It's just terrible. It's confusing to those people. And I feel sorry for all those people that lose their money. They give all that's money to them. They said, oh, blessings are going to come. Miracles are going to happen to your body and in your family. And it never comes. And it's so pitiful to know that that is happening all across the world. It's a truly pitiful and pathetic situation because these people, they know what they're doing. They know what they've read the scriptures. They've heard some preaching, no doubt, before, but yet they go because the money is the root of all evil. They don't care about your souls. They don't really care if you go to hell. That once you die, you're erased from their memory. They don't care. As long as they can get their check, as long as they can get their money, they're still going to be there in that church. But I guarantee if you took away their check, you took away their salary, they'd move on to greener pastures and find themselves another church. It's a pitiful thing, but I care about your soul today. I love you. I don't care who you are. I don't care who your nationality is. I don't care about your color, your marital status, you're famous. If you're not famous, if you're poor, if you're rich, if you're middle class, I don't care who you are. The Bible said, treat everybody the same. There's no respect of persons. I'm just thankful to be saved and born again. I want to share it with everybody. If you're going through heartache, if you're going through trouble, if you're going through a breakup or something, you just can't get away from the alcohol. You've tried so many times to quit. You've tried so many times to quit drugs and all these different types of things. You tried so many things. You just can't seem to come up full on the inside. You always come up empty. You're depressed. You're hungover. You got a headache. You just don't know what to do. Jesus is the answer. Well, of course you're going to say that. You're a preacher. But see, no, I've lived on both sides. I know what it means to be saved. I know what it means to run after sin and commit sinful habits and come up empty every single time. I've been through that road. I've been over it over and over and over again. The same pacifier, the same old sin. Every day I would try it again and try it again and try it again. And it never would work. I would always come up empty every single time. And I finally, when I heard the Word of God, after those 7 long, dreadful years, I finally heard the Word of God again. It came back again the second time, and it broke my heart into many pieces. That stony heart, God broke it, spiritually speaking, and He put in a heart of flesh when I said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I want to be saved, Lord. I don't want this emptiness. I don't want this depression. I don't want this trouble anymore. I want to be happy. I want to be joyous. I want something on the inside that's going to satisfy me, that's going to fill the empty longing inside my heart. I need some help from you, Lord. If it means dying right now and going to heaven with you, Lord, please just take me on out. Save me before I go. Please just save me, Lord. And I pray that you'd have mercy on my family. I just wanted to be saved above all else. I was determined that day. I prayed in church. I prayed when I was on my knees in church. And I went home and I got in my pickup truck and I drove home. I was crying out to God with all my heart. I got by my bedside. When I got home, I prayed 3 different times that I remember. I was determined that day. I wanted to be saved above life itself. And that's exactly the desire and the determination that you have to get saved. You got to give all your heart to Jesus. Put everything aside. Put your mother, your father, your friends, your family, your kids. Put it all behind you, and that God will take care of everything. He'll save you. He'll give you peace and joy in your heart, and He'll put everything in your path, and He'll direct your path, and everything will be perfect and good, just like it needs to be. But I see my time's about gone. May God bless you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.